Simon asked me to talk about what's a good start to this race. I just want to put a couple of caveats in before I start. These are just my thoughts. This isn't a formula from the Bible. I didn't find a page that said, here's the things you need to do to have a good start as a Christian. So you might disagree, and that's fine. And you might have loads of other things you think I should have said, and that's fine as well. And if you have, as the day goes on, can you talk about it? That would be great. So, you may be sitting here and you're not sure whether or not you're saved, whether you know Jesus, whether your sins are forgiven. And that's absolutely fine. But what I'm going to talk about starts from the point of view that it assumes that you are saved and that you know your sins are forgiven and that you trust Jesus. Because if that's the case, one day you're going to heaven. But for now, you're still here. So, is that it? Is that all you need to know about Christianity? If that's you, what should happen next in your life? If you take that verse that's over there that most of you can't read at the moment because it's too far away from Hebrews 12, and you take out the bits that I'm most interested in today, it says this. We don't know who wrote Hebrews, but he says, think of the rest of your life now as a Christian, like a race. He said there's some things that you need to lay aside because they slow you down in that race. And there's some things you need to do. He says you're going to need to run and keep going. That's what endurance is. And he says you need to focus on Jesus. It's not really a race, is it? Because you're not competing with other people. You're not elbowing other Christians out of the way. You're not trying to sneak a quick start ahead of somebody else. You're not trying to make sure you get to the finish line before the rest. It's not that kind of race. But whoever wrote Hebrews says, think of it like a race. Try this. I think pictures help. All right, this is a picture from the Rio Olympics. It's the start of this last summer. It's the start of one of the heats of the 100 metres. So it's a sprint. The third guy in from the left, the tall guy, is Usain Bolt, who, as you probably know, won the Olympic gold for a second time and is the current fastest man in the world. But I just wanted to show you that picture for a minute. Whoever wrote Hebrews said life's like a race. This is the start of a race. Just look at it for a minute. Look at the focus. Look at the concentration on their faces. Because that's what the writer of the Hebrews seems to be talking about. Focus on Jesus. There are other ways to run races. This is a chap called Tony Felix Morrison. He ran from John O'Groats to Land's End. So from the very top of Scotland, right down to Land's End, down past Penzance, across the whole of Britain. And when he finished, he took his fridge and he went up to Newcastle and he ran the Great North Run. Don't bother Googling him, he's not a very nice man, but it's a most peculiar thing to do. When he finished the Great North Run, the newspapers reported that Tony Felix Morrison we are, according to the writer of the Hebrews, to put aside the weights, the things that entangle us to run the race. Other people will talk with you about that today, but just look at that picture again. There's not a single fridge. In fact, they're wearing the lightest clothing they could find. There's hardly anything that they've got there that will hold them back for even a tenth of a second. I just wanted you to think about that. At the start of the race, the writer of the Hebrews says, put away your fridges, put away anything that's going to hold you back, and run this race. It's not a sprint. It's a race for life. Until Jesus comes, either to take you when you die, or comes to take us all, it's a race till then. And you're running with others. This is the start of the London 2014 marathon. There's a lot of people there running in a crowd. Sometimes as a Christian, you're running with others, and that's great. Sometimes as a Christian, you're running on your own. This is Wilson Kipsang, if that's how you pronounce his name. He won. This is the end of that marathon. He's running on his own. Running on your own can be difficult. It can be lonely. If you're running with Jesus, it can still be great. Look at the smile on his face. God says, in Hebrews, think of the Christian life like a race. Lay aside some things that slow you down. Run and keep going all your life. And focus on Jesus. Now, whoever wrote Hebrews had a lot of other advice for Christians. And right through the Bible you find advice for Christians. And I'm going to show you some of the things that it says. It's just a tiny selection of what's in the Bible, and you don't need to remember a single thing. The writer of the Hebrews says that as a Christian you need to pursue holiness. I'm not going to take each of these and talk about them. I just want you to look at them as they come up. If you want a good start, he says, pursue holiness. He says, pursue peace with all people. He says, don't forget to do good and to share. He says, let your conversation be without love of money. And be satisfied with your present circumstances. He said, don't give up meeting with other Christians. Encourage one another. Paul wrote to Timothy, the first and second epistles to Timothy, two letters. He was writing to a young believer. And he said this, and I know some of this language that you're seeing is old-fashioned. Some of it's from the Derby translation, some of it's from the New King James, some of it's from the NIV. Paul said to Timothy, people who want to be rich, they fall into a temptation and a snare. People whose main aim in life is to get richer, to be wealthy. He says, the love of money is a root. It's the cause. It leads to all kinds of evil. Flee these things. It's absolutely contrary to the wisdom of the world. Paul said to Timothy, instead, pursue these things. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. And do good. Be rich in good works. Be ready to give. Be willing to share. Don't trust in the uncertainty of riches. Trust in the living God. He said, maintain faith and a good conscience. And some practical stuff. Paul said to Timothy, people who are Christians should dress modestly. Don't share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Don't be a coward. God hasn't given you a spirit of cowardice. Don't be afraid, he said. Don't be ashamed to talk to other people about Jesus. Have an outline of sound words, he said, which you've heard from me. Have an understanding of some of the things that the Bible says so that you can tell others. And run, flee from youthful lusts. And again, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, but do it with other Christians who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Find other Christians who want to run the same race as you. Do this with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. My experience is God provides me with Christians. He provides me with Christians in the meeting that I go to. He provides me with Christians in my street. He provided me with Christians at work. He provided me with Christians around our town now. You just have to look for them and find them. Talk with them. There's a lot of people around you who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He said to Timothy, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. They just generate strife. Don't quarrel. Don't argue. Be gentle. And preach the word. Be ready to preach the word. I don't mean stand up and preach. Although, if you get the opportunity to do that, I first preached when I was 19 years old. And I preached on the cross and I remember it. The great thing about doing that is if you have to explain something to somebody else, it means that you learn it yourself. I think it's the best way to learn any subject is to have to explain it to someone. If you get the opportunity to preach the word, to tell somebody about Jesus, you might feel very nervous about it. It might worry you. But do it. Peter has some things to say. That was all Paul. Peter says, don't conform to lusts. Maybe some people will be talking about that later, I don't know. He says, you're called to be holy. Never forget, your God is holy. He says, be holy, for I am holy. And he warns, Peter warns us, if you call on the Father, if he's now your Father, If Jesus, his father, is your father and you talk to him, he said, just remember who he is. He's a God who loves you, but he is also God to be feared and respected. John says some things which are mainly about love. John says, don't love the world or the things in the world. It's passing. And it's lust, it's passing. He said, but by contrast, he that does the will of God and is absorbed in God's things abides to eternity. I can see a typo. John says, he laid down his life for us. Whoever has got this world's good and sees another Christian in need and shuts his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Let's love each other, not just with words, but with what we do. And this is all good advice for Christians who are a long way down the road. It's good advice for Christians who are just starting. Let us love one another. And as you read what Peter says and what John says and what Paul says and what other people say in the Bible over and over again, you'll find the same messages keep coming. He says, if we ask him anything according to his will, he hears us. Speak to him. Keep speaking to Jesus. Keep speaking to your Heavenly Father. Keep speaking to the Holy Spirit. If you want to know when you should speak to each of those, can't tell you. I just speak. If I've got a need, if I've got something that's worrying me, if I need some help, if I want to say thank you, I'll speak to anyone. Quite often, if I'm about to do something, I say to the Holy Spirit, could you please just help me here? Could you just take over my mind and my words for a bit? And just you do this. And try it. Just try it. In the Old Testament, there's some stuff which is useful for a good start for Christians and for keeping on that road. I've only picked you two quotes from the Old Testament, but there are hundreds of pages. The prophet Micah says this, it's really simple, I like things that come in threes. He says, God has shown you what is good. And if you're a Christian, you've seen what's good, if you've seen Jesus. And now what does the Lord require of you? But just this, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It's one of my favourite scriptures. But always remember this too. The Lord says in Isaiah, he says, it's the Lord, it's Jehovah. He dwells in a high and holy place. And he says, I live with him who is of contrite and a humble spirit. And I love that contrast. That picture of God dwelling in a high and holy place. Magnificent. But also dwelling with you and me. If our spirits are like that. God himself. But best of all, I like these quotes. Because this is Jesus. This is my Lord. These are words that he actually used. He said, blessed the meek, you know these words. Blessed those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. It's all good advice to a Christian starting out. They should live like that. He says, love your enemies. If you love me, he says, keep my commandments. Love one another as I have loved you. Take and eat this and remember me. And you take all that and you look at the words that are on the slide. And a lot of the ones I started with have faded off the slide. And you say, what am I supposed to do with that? If I'm a Christian starting out, what am I supposed to do with that? I can't remember three of them, or four of them, or five of them. And you've just given me about 50. How am I supposed to cope? Well, you see, I think it's quite easy. Because I think, and this is just my view, and others will have other things they've put on this slide. I think a good start is just three things. And when I show you, you'll go, yeah, that's really boring. Because look, I think it's that. To me, that's a good start. Read your Bible. Talk to Jesus and keep company with Christians. And there's a reason I put that. Because somebody said to me when I became a Christian, and I remember exactly, and I know who it was, and I'm not going to tell it, They said, the one thing you need to do is read your Bible a lot. And I didn't. There's something about it, isn't there? Just, if you come to a meeting or church and you're expecting to open your Bible and read it, so you do. And probably someone else is reading it and you're just hearing the words. But actually, getting to the point at home where you sit down on your own and open it and read it. Why is that so hard? Right, I've been a Christian for 30-something years. And even now, right? Everybody's gone. The house is empty in the morning. I pick up my Bible. I just do something else. Always. I don't know why, but it's there all the time. And you have to get through it. Because when I open that Bible, I love it. Day after day, I open that Bible. I tell you what I do now. I used to read my Bible going to work on the train. And obviously you read it quietly. Carry it quietly. If you look around, if you've ever travelled to work on the train, have a look around you, right? Because I soon found other people reading Bibles. Quite often they're reading on a screen. But you can. If you're reading it, try reading a little Bible because it's obvious to everybody else what you're doing and then people talk to you. But I don't travel on the train anymore. I'm at home in the morning. So I do something else which I really, really recommend if there's nobody around. I open my Bible and I put it on the kitchen table and I stand there and I read out loud. Because I think those scriptures were originally designed to be read out loud. And I find that really helpful. It's probably just me. I try and read a chapter every day at least, usually at most, and I often stop when I get to a place where I go, whoa, just read that again, and I stop there for the day, just think about that for a few minutes. But you see, the thing about reading your Bible is everything else that I've just showed you on the page is in that Bible. If you read it, and keep reading it day by day by day, I don't know how to describe it. It sort of changes you inside. Some of the psalmists knew what this meant. They said, thy word have I hid in my heart. And it changes you. You continually, just little by little, day by day, reading the things that the Saviour said. Or that his apostles said. And over time, it changes you. Talk to Jesus. Because the whole point of being a Christian isn't that you go and read some book. The whole point of being a Christian is that, as you've heard many times, is you have this relationship with Jesus. He's alive, as you know. You can speak to him. You can speak to your Father. You can speak to the Holy Spirit. I could have put them on there. But talk to them. That's what he wants. That's what God wants. He wants you to walk along in your life day by day and just be able to talk to him. I did something the other day where he helped me. Okay, I wasn't going to. I'll tell you what this was. I've got a neighbour whose name's Clive. He's 80 years old. Right? And he's not a Christian. And he's my friend. It's okay to have friends who are not Christians. I've known Clive for years. After I went to Laura's school earlier this year. I said to Clive, look, he said, what have you done today? And I said, I've been to see these sixth formers and talk to them about what it means to be a Christian. I said, Clive, you're my friend, and there's just one thing we never talk about, isn't there? Oh, yes, yes. I said, well, as I talk to these people I don't know, could I sit down and talk to you about what I believe, what it means to be? Oh, yes, of course, we'd find a date. I had to take him to hospital and he collapsed while he was there a few weeks ago. And when we came out, he said, I'm going to take you and your wife for dinner to say thank you for today. I said, Clive, there's something I'd rather you did. Oh, yes, 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 I know. All uncomfortable. I said, well, can we have that conversation? Yes, and we'll put it in the diary. Would you mind if we have it over a gin and tonic? Have it over what you like. And it didn't happen. He said, I'll phone you on Sunday and we'll fix a date next week. Nothing happened. And then I got a text one day that said, how about next Tuesday and we'll have lunch? So we did that. I don't think Clive's ever really prayed. I don't think he understands what it means to pray to God. I think to him it's a set of words that you use. If you say grace over our meal, give thanks for your food, he'll often say, oh, I've got a grace you can use, and produce this. But you see, you've had the Spirit work in your heart, and you know that Jesus is alive. You can talk to him. I came away and I talked to him about, I showed him the slides we used at the school, and we talked through it, and we came away and we had a discussion, and he told me his beliefs, which are a bit weird, but there you go. But people just make them up. Like there isn't really a hell, and there's only judgment for some people and all that sort of stuff. And I came away and I was walking along and I was talking to Jesus, and I know what I was saying to him. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that talks about a watchman and says the watchman has a duty to warn when he sees the enemy coming. And if he warns, then the people that he warns, their blood is not on his head. If that makes sense to you, he's not responsible anymore. But if he doesn't warn them about the enemy coming, the blood is on his head. It's a bit weird language, but maybe you can understand. And I walked along, and I just found myself talking to Jesus, and I said, Lord, now that his blood, Clive's blood, if he doesn't believe you, it's not on my head. But I really don't want it to be on his either. And I realised what I was asking. I said, I want it to be on yours, Lord. Could you do that, please? Could you take all his sin and guiltiness and just take it away? He's 80. He hasn't got much time left. Could you do that, please? But that's the kind of conversation you can have with Jesus. He answers prayers where people ask, the scripture says, things that are according to his will. If you ask, can I win the lottery? Scripture already tells you the prayer won't be answered. If you ask, can you please help me? Could you please do this? Could you please help this person? Lord, could you just do it? Could you make my heart more like yours? Over time. And gently, please. No. Then I'm a bit not sure I really want to go that quick as a Christian. All those conversations. Talk to Jesus. That is what Christianity is about, and that is how to start. And keep company with other Christians, because the Bible tells you time and time again that if you keep only company with people that are not Christians, they do actually influence the way you think. And the more time you spend with people that are not Christians, the harder it is to lead a Christian life yourself. But don't not speak or spend time with people that aren't Christians, because you're meant to be the salt of the earth. If you know somebody and no Christian ever spends any time with them, how are they ever going to hear about the gospel, about Jesus? The best way, I think, for someone to open their hearts is often for them to see the example of a Christian and go, If I was adding some other stuff, I'd say this, because you could sum up all that slides in this. You could say, what does God want you to do? What's a good start? Stop doing the stuff your Lord hates and look for the things he wants you to do. Scripture says there are good works that God has prepared for you to do. Just look, you'll find them soon enough. God says, think of a Christian life as a race. Lay aside the things that slow you down. Run and keep going. Focus on Jesus.